20 years ago, right now, the Fort Smith Symphony was seeking a new conductor and music director. John Jetter was one of the applicants. You know the end of this story. He got the job. But really, that's not the end of the story because he's about to begin his 20th season as conductor of the symphony. And we asked him to come to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio this week to reflect on the past 19 seasons for the Fort Smith Symphony and to give us a preview of the 20th season of his tenure, a season that will launch with Joshua Bell on stage with the Fort Smith Symphony. And we also asked him about the future of classical music as a public art form. First, though, I asked him if he could recall where he was 20 years ago this week.
Yes, I was living in Indianapolis, and it was an exciting time. I had done some conductor workshops by the American Symphony Orchestra League. Now they're called the League of American Orchestras. And it was an exciting time because I was getting asked to audition for music director jobs and assistant conductor jobs. And of all things, one of those was the Fort Smith Symphony. So, and really, to also have a cliche going here, gone by and it's complete, you know, blink of an eye. It's really hard to believe it's been 20 years. It really is.
Had you been to Fort Smith before the audition process?
No. I had not been to Fort Smith before, and I think, I forget exactly, I think they had kind of done, they're towards the end of a conductor search selecting people, and I don't remember exactly who contacted who, but, you know, they ended up saying, hey, can you come and, you know, do a week. And the orchestra, you know, they were nice people and the community was nice. But boy, the orchestra was really different back then. And, you know, in all due respect, it was a, you know, very small community orchestra and, you know, it was mainly local players. And I think the community wanted to have a good orchestra. And I remember it sort of towards the end of the week, people asking me, you know, what do you think? Or after the concert, what do you think? And I was like, oh, you know, I don't know. And I just had a few key board members say, you know, I think if you were interested in coming here, you wouldn't exactly have carte blanche, but I think we think you could do a lot. We've just, you know, it's been going along okay for a little too long. We want it to really, you know, step up.
So now here you are about to embark on the 20th season.
Yes. I'm older.
We all are, John.
Yes,
we all are.
I know. Yeah. So we have, you know, we're considered a regional orchestra and fully professional. And, you know, things have changed so much. I suppose on the surface, you know, I think back then, I don't know, we may have been doing 5 subscription concerts. So you'd think after 20 years, we'd be doing more than 6 concerts. But I'm sort of, well.
I don't know about that.
Well, no, I mean, 6 concerts a year. Well, hey, I can, hey, you know, okay. I mean, on the surface.
Sure.
So, but, and I think a lot of orchestras in our situation, as our budget has grown, which it has, we would have added a lot more, maybe more concerts. But, you know, I'm kind of a less is more kind of person, and I want to make sure that every concert's kind of an event. So we've really put a lot of resources into those concerts. And a ton of resources into all the other educational things. I mean, I think considering what our season looks like, you know, the educational stuff is really great and some community projects.
Season opens earlier than usual?
Yes. Season opener is Sunday, September 11th, so also on a Sunday. We're always on a Saturday night. And if you want to bring in an artist like Joshua Bell, it's all about his availability.
Of course.
So, yeah. So he is our soloist for the season opener. And, you know, with the 20th anniversary, it's kind of an excuse to do something extra special. But also, I'm hoping for you know, the River Valley and for the region, but particularly the River Valley, this idea of, you know, there's no limits to who you can bring in if you really try, you know. And I just think it's great that he was able to, you know, to make it, to be here. So, yeah, our season opener is September 11th. And we're doing the Flying Dutchman Overture, Wagner, and Capriccio Espanol of Rimsky-Korsakov. And Joshua Bell's playing the Bruch Violin Concerto, which is one of the most famous violin concertos. And it's also, of all the concerti, it's kind of his specialty piece. He plays it a lot.
If the season starts earlier, do ticket sales start earlier?
Yes, everything's moved up. So we're currently in the new season ticket purchaser phase. So we've had all of our current season ticket holders have renewed, and we've opened it up to people who want to purchase season tickets who haven't before. And, you know, it's funny because our season tickets, if you look at how much they are, in some places it doesn't cost that much more to get a whole season ticket than if you were to go see Joshua Bell in a, you know, big city. So it's really kind of interesting. So we're doing great with tickets, and it's our typical season in that it's a mix of classics and pops.
Got a Christmas in there.
Got Christmas in there, of course.
As the year goes on, I want to get specifically to those concerts. A couple of things I want to ask you about. Later in the concert series, the fifth one, the music of James Bond.
Yes. That's a very cool concert, yeah. If you think about all those great theme songs, they're so tied into the flavor of the specific film, and we have a wonderful vocal soloist, and I think that's going to be a really neat concert. There's a lot of interest, as you can imagine, particularly in that it's such cool music, and it's like, wow, that with that on a symphony season is kind of unusual, but great stuff. I think that'll be a wonderful concert.
Now, you're going to end the season with something called Conductor's Choice. Okay, it'll be the end of your 20th season.
Yes.
You're the conductor.
Yes.
I mean, on some level, they're all Conductor's Choice, on some level.
Yeah, well, in that I'm in charge of the programming.
Right. But to call one Conductor's Choice, so what are we going to hear? I mean, are these the absolute favorites of yours?
Well, you know, I've been doing a lot of interviews lately and questions about, oh, you know, you get to play all this music that, and of course, I love what we do. But if someone said, okay, for the next three seasons, you know, only program music that you want to hear, I mean, season would look so different. And over the years, it's very rarely about me. You know, what do I want to hear? And I know a lot of conductors will say, well, I really wanted to do so and so. It's about, you know, what would be great for the community, orchestra, all that. So, but there's a way to get everything we want. So, this last concert. We're doing some pieces you don't normally hear. The two main works are the Symphony No. 7 of Sibelius, which is really, yeah, it's one of my favorite symphonies. It's really one of the great symphonies. I'd say the first, 10 minutes of the piece are probably, I can't imagine I don't think there's a more beautiful piece of music ever written. It's just absolutely glorious. And then one of my longtime favorites is the Sinfonietta by Leos Janáček, which was written after the First World War. And it is just a fantastic piece. And then we're offsetting those with two very intimate pieces, the Strauss Serenade for Winds, which winds only, that starts the program. And then Elgar's Sospiri, that means sighs, like sighing, oh, and that's for strings. So the main two works. And then we'll do Beyond the Score, where we'll play some excerpts so people get an idea of. And Bo, I want to say the Sibelius and the Janáček, they are early 20th century works. They're not these crazy new pieces. If you don't know the name Janáček, you know, very tonal frequently, and just really, really one of the great composers.
And you mentioned education. That's a big part of what the Fort Smith Symphony does. You've got the Jolt.
Yeah, we've got for education. Well, the Jolt's that's more of a community program.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's okay. We've got the Cool Cats, which is a jazz quartet, which is doing fourth grade. Schools, all the public schools in Fort Smith, talking about the history of jazz. What is jazz? The kids will learn how to like do scat singing and improv, and jazz being an American art form, one of our few American musical forms. I mean, these kids need to know about it, and that'll be great. That's in fourth grade. Going back a grade, we have Storybook Strings that performs for third graders, which is absolutely fantastic. That's a string quartet and narrator. And that's music that has been especially composed to go with children's books. All music tells a story. So that's a great intro. Then we have, that's third grade. Fourth grade is Cool Cats. Fifth grade is Symphony in the Schools. That's another string quartet that talks about the building blocks of music. How does rhythm work? How does it work mathematically? Some acoustics of the instruments, and then it leads up to Earquake in the sixth grade, which is the big, free concerts where
I've been to a couple of those.
That's
those
right.
Those are fantastic.
Yeah. And we're serving about 4,000 kids a year. We added a performance, and yeah, Earquake's been going on a long time. And we've done Earquake and a number of the other programs long enough to where we are seeing the influence in terms of specific numbers of kids who are signing up for orchestra, band, and choir because they went to hear Earquake.
It's going to make you feel good.
Well, yeah. If you look at all, if you go back 20 years and look at all the educational programs, we've probably exposed about 100,000 kids to music. If you think of, because some of the in-school ensembles, they'll go to 50 schools in the course of a year.
You know,
just one ensemble.
You're not probably that far away from some child who was at one of these outreach events auditioning. You're going to be okay with that?
Yes. Okay. I'll be okay with it. Yeah, we have, there are some kids who are off at college, you know, studying, getting music degrees. And their first thing was they saw the string quartet in the fifth grade and they went to Earquake. So it's pretty neat.
One last question about a two-decade and counting tenure. You mentioned that the orchestra is different now. You've expanded the opportunities. The season is grander. Is there anything else that we might be surprised is different for a conductor in 2016 than it was in 1996, before there were smartphones, before there was, you know, widespread social media?
Do you mean?
I don't know what I mean,
okay.
John.
Well.
I mean, because you don't exist in a vacuum.
Right. I try. No. Well, you know, for conductors in general, I mean, the classical music world, maybe this is more a general thing. You know, the classical music world has to continue to change. I think, if one's interested in classical music, read about it. There's all sorts of, you know, predictions that people aren't listening to classical music or orchestras are in trouble, all that. And I do think that the classical world is seeing that they have to change. And I think just in general, we seem to be, quote unquote, progressing at a quicker rate. So we're having to make changes. We're really having to do it. And I think the difference is that we're really having to make real changes. And I find that the orchestra world is still pretty hesitant to do that. Now, if you look at Symphony Magazine or if you talk to most orchestras, they want to start doing all these. They say, well, we need to start doing all these things, you know, be more inclusive. The problem is I don't think the industry as a whole still really wants to do that. Mm-hmm. We're still kind of in this mode where we're special and, you know, we really don't have we'll be more cool and inclusive because, you know, we have to be. But it's not, and I think the organizations that actually are sincerely that way, those are the ones that are successful. I mean, people are smart; they'll, especially kids. Boy, if you're trying to pull something over on a young audience,
won't work.
They know immediately. So, and you know, that said, I think we've done a great job in trying to do things differently. There's all sorts of over the last 20 years examples of things that the orchestra's done that really, even on a national level, there are very few have done it. Not that it's a contest, but it's real nice to see that, you know, that arc of activity. And we have a lot of plans, more recordings and more educational things, you know, plans for the next few years. So we just want to keep it going.
All right. September 11th is the first concert.
Yes.
Tickets for people who previously weren't season ticket holders on sale.
Yeah, season ticket holders, that'll be on sale. And then in mid-August, single tickets will be on sale. Probably there'll only be one or two days at that time for tickets for the season opener, and they'll be gone because we do tend to sell a majority of the seats for the whole season with season tickets. Mm. So do it. Don't delay.
All right.
Yeah.
And where can people buy tickets?
At the Fort Smith Symphony box office. You have to call or get online at fortsmithsymphony.org or 452-7575. That's 479 area code, extension 5.
Okay.
Sorry. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You looked at me like I wasn't going to remember what the extension was. Yes.
Congratulations on 20 years.
Thank you.
And you'll come back, right?
Yes. Yeah.
All
looking
right.
Forward to it.
Thanks,
all
John.
Right. Thank you.
John Jetter is the conductor and music director of the Fort Smith Symphony. His 20th season with the symphony will begin in September. You can find out more about the symphony's season, the symphony's other projects, and about tickets at fortsmithsymphony.org.